This episode is brought to you by Springer Mountain Farms Chicken. No antibiotics, herbicides, or pesticides. Just pure chicken, humanely raised on a vegetarian diet. It's the natural choice of celebrated chefs. For more information, visit m.springermountainfarms.com.
Hey, and thanks for joining Heritage Radio Network on tour. We're your hosts. I'm Katie Mosman-Wadler. And with us...
And I'm Jack Inslee here, loving my time so far here in Nashville. We're like, what, half a day in? A full day in?
We're coming up on the 18-hour mark, I think.
The 18-hour mark, yeah.
We've been living hard these 18 hours.
Living really hard. Loving everything here, though. We're in this amazing courtyard right here. There's a Beyonce concert in town, so that's part of the atmosphere in Nashville today.
I'm feeling a little sadness.
Spoiler alert.
That we're not going to see Bay tonight, but maybe we will. I think that, you know, we're at some classy places this evening, and, yeah. You know, we might just be hanging out with her later. We'll keep you posted.
We'll see. The chef we're going to speak to today, I've been told, is a real Renaissance man. That was the phrase that was used to describe Chef before we met Chef. But yeah. Katie, I'll let you tell us a little bit more about Chef.
Well, I'm really very, very pleased to introduce Chef Edgar Penley today. He is the executive chef of Urban Grub Fresh Fish and Aged Meats in Nashville's 12 South neighborhood, where he's known as a quality fanatic in sourcing produce, meat, and seafood, and also for running his own in-house butchery and charcuterie program. And I will just say that we have been feasting so far on an amazing charcuterie plate that included some duck candy, some ring bologna, a delicious cured smoked salmon.
Yes.
So it's really been a treat so far, and there's more to come. I just want to say, Chef Edgar, hi, and thank you so much for having us here tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Excellent. That duck candy was out of control, as was the andouille.
All right. So I'm going to pass it over to Jack, and he's going to do a round of rapid-fire questions, and just let her roll.
These are easy. This is easy rapid-fire. No gotcha moments. So what we've been asking all the chefs, simple, last great bite that you had, literally, if you can think about today, like the last great thing you ate.
I was in the dish room earlier, and I scraped some hash browns off of a pan. That was the last one that I had.
How recent was that? Like 20 minutes
30 ago? Minutes yeah. ago.
Excellent. This is a fun one, and you got to be honest. What is, as we speak right now, in your refrigerator at home? Like, walk me through it.
Milk. Eggs that are definitely bad. I don't even eat eggs because I'm allergic to them, but my girlfriend does. And there's something growing out of the freezer. And a half-drank 2-liter Coke. I don't know how long that's been in there.
The carbonation.
I think they stopped making 2-liter Cokes, actually. So that's like at least 6 months old.
That's the whole contents of
that. That is actually it completely.
Wow. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Moving on. Favorite childhood meal? Like, what comes to mind immediately?
Hormel chicken and noodles, the little oval microwave deals. Or my mom used to make these burritos that were like enchiladas. Super, you know,
dude.
Old El Paso. Straight up, like, taco seasoning, red sauce on top, and yellow cheese.
That's the second enchilada answer we had to that question today.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
That's incredible. You mentioned chicken. That's awesome. Springer Mountain Farms is the reason we're here today. So I got to ask you, like, what are you doing with chicken? Nashville's obviously, like, a chicken town. We ate Prince's as soon as we got off the flight. As one does.
As you should have.
Yeah, extra hot. I think I'm just over it now.
Did you say please and thank you and ma'am plenty of times?
It didn't matter, but I mean...
You still had to wait 2 hours.
It was an hour.
Yeah.
A solid hour. Yeah. But what are you doing with chicken here? What's your take on chicken?
Well, we do we do a lot of things with chicken, actually. We use the chicken at least 3 times to maximize as much profit out of it as possible. So we only buy whole birds. We do a whole smoked bird, and then from the smoked, we do a pulled chicken that goes in our club carbonara, and we also take the tenders out of them to do hot chicken and waffles. We do some chicken force meats. We do a chicken boudin, where we bone the whole birds out. We do a fried chicken skin right now that we don't actually have on the menu because we're out of this evening. But and then we take all the bones for roasted stock, and then we wash them out after that again. So we get full maximization out of a bird.
A chicken's worth.
A chicken's worth.
Awesome. What would you say your proudest piece of produce in the kitchen is right now? What is it, October 2nd today, right?
Yeah.
Wow. October 2nd.
It's all terrible.
Yeah.
Yes. Produce is pretty much done here for us.
But there's the gourd market, like, right across
well,
the street.
Well, we're all in pumpkins now. So we've got plenty of gorgeous pumpkins, but it sucks. I mean, we basically wrapped up our local produce season in the last 2 weeks right before I got on the road to do Cincinnati and then Euphoria and then be in Atlanta. We shut our portion of the produce stand down. So up to that point, we were growing about 6,000 pounds of tomatoes a week. So pretty wild, and then it just cut off.
Right. So now we're selling out of chicken skin.
We're selling out of chicken skin and hoping people like pumpkins and squash.
Awesome.
But yeah, we got a bunch of beautiful pumpkins and butternut squash and stuff like that back there. Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. All right, last one before we let you out of the rapid fire. What's your post-shift drink?
Water.
Great answer.
I don't drink.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
I mean, I don't have a problem. I just don't have time.
Yeah. Awesome. So. Sweet. All right. Well, you survived rapid fire. Thank you very much.
Thank God.
No gotcha.
Has this ever actually killed anybody?
No.
Okay.
No,
well, that's good.
They're softballs.
That's good.
Yeah. But we will be right back. We're here in Nashville. We're having a blast. This is Jack and Lee with Katie Moserman, and we will be right back on Heritage Radio Network. Stay with us after this quick break.
This episode was brought to you by Springer Mountain Farms Chicken. For almost 50 years, Springer has been family-owned and family-run. Today, there are over 300 family farmers raising birds in Georgia's Blue Ridge Mountains. Many of them are second, even third generation. They're committed to doing things the right way. Springer was one of the first poultry companies to forego the use of antibiotics, and they've embraced other humane practices too. In fact, they were the first poultry company to earn the American Humane Association's seal of approval. Springer has also led the way in testing for and eliminating all herbicides and pesticides from the chicken's feed supply. Springer Mountain farmers know what's best for your chicken. We're into that. Better feed, better care for the animals. It just makes sense. From their family's farms to your family's table, Springer Mountain Farms. For more information, visit m.springermountainfarms.com.
So we are back. We've been having some warm feelings about lobster in the meantime. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network on tour on location in Nashville, Tennessee. And our guest today is Chef Edgar Penley of Urban Grub. So Chef, first, I have to ask you about the space because I know you had a big hand in the design and the actual construction of what we're in. But is it true that this actually used to be a car wash?
It's still standing as a car wash. The middle of the restaurant is actually the original wash bay where the kitchen is.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had it already plumbed up and ready
well,
to go?
it was easier to plumb because it was a pit where it all drained downwards, so we had a foot to start the drop off on the runoff water. So
wow.
Yeah.
So I've heard that they call you the maintenance man.
I am in fact the maintenance man.
Did you develop these abilities in addition to, obviously, your culinary talents and your butchery talents? How did you get started in this kind of design and construction?
Well, I have a degree in construction management from Middle Tennessee as well. Basically, when the bottom dropped out of the economy in 2008 or 2006, 2008, the company that I was working for, I was on the road opening hotels, and they said, hey, you want to move back here and get another degree and open a hotel where you're getting that degree? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So they actually paid for both of my degrees.
Wow. So, that is the way to go.
Yeah.
You can swing it. That's amazing.
Yeah. Right?
How lucky.
Debt-free. It's the way to be.
You're doing your own curing and smoking here?
Yeah, we do. We do quite a bit of curing and smoking. We go through about 650 pounds of bacon a week. Anywhere between 400 and 500 pounds of andouille a week, and then about another 100 pounds of this ring bologna on top of it, as well as about 3,500 country hams a year.
Wow.
So it's not technically a smoke house, as in like what Alan Benton has.
Okay.
It's not a big roll-in room.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we do use vertical smokers over elapsed periods of time.
Okay.
And then they hang in a curing room after that. So. Okay. We're actually in the middle of building a butcher shop at the moment. It will have a full smokehouse for us there. So we're getting pretty excited about that.
That's amazing.
It'll be in the wholesale and the retail business, as well as it'll be a bakery and a charcuterie and a patisserie as well. So it's kind of like Ganesh. It's got like nine arms, you know what I mean?
And when you were kind of getting started in learning about charcuterie and meat curing, what was the first thing you made where you really felt like, this is it, I nailed it?
Andouille. Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually started making that. We made about 10 pounds a week out of like a tiny little number 12 KitchenAid grinder, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went up to like a one size larger than that. And we really thought we were doing it hard when we were doing 50 pounds a week. And now we're making 600 pounds of it every week. And it's terrible. There's just meat everywhere, just constantly. The grinder that we use puts out 65 pounds a minute.
What? Wait. 65 pounds?
It can grind 65 pounds a minute.
What does 65 pounds of ground meat look like? Like, can I hold that in my arms?
No. No. It's basically like a full giant tub. Yeah, it's half of Matt.
Wow.
I think he's insinuating it only weighs 130 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm calling bullshit on that.
What is it? What kind of container is it going into when you're pumping out 65 pounds?
They're meat totes. They're actually designed for meat. They're like they're stacking. They're okay. Called meat lugs. You literally lug them around. There are companies that manufacture meat totes. There are companies that manufacture nothing but meat manufacturing equipment.
Wow. Yeah. And for a place, I mean, you're not a sausage factory. You are a restaurant.
I like to be thought of as a sausage factory,
are,
though.
How much of this do you
incredible.
Fly through on a nightly basis?
About 100 pounds a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes a little more.
But that's only 2 minutes worth on the grinder, not even.
Yeah,
just,
right?
You know.
It's no time at all.
Right.
It actually has
really
force.
Fine.
It actually has a lot of force to it. If you don't cover it with your hand, it will just spatter all over the wall sometimes. Yeah. Yes, it does quite often. Like, I had meat all over my face this morning. It's like, whoa, blowout. It's like picking it off. And then I lay down at night, and the dog and the cat like stand over top of me, and then like slow licks. That's what I call them. It's like, I wake up and they're just kind of like looking me in the eye and just kind of, yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. God. All right. Well, that's a little bit of a gruesome yet awesome set of images that you're leaving us with there.
They're all sustainably raised hogs, though.
Well, speaking of sustainability, can we talk a little bit about the green building that we're in and what's green about it? How are you involved?
It's, well, okay, so like 90% of the products from the original building were recycled. All the doors and windows and stuff came out of other buildings. This lumber was all pulled out of an old barn in Franklin, Tennessee. We're actually taking down our hydroponic tomatoes in the back because that was a failure of a project. It's one of my big shaming moments.
I want to know what happened.
We had these tomatoes growing in buckets in the back, but it's just a failure. They would just get super viney, and then the birds would come and rape our tomatoes all day. And then the squirrels would come to fight with the birds. And it was like varmint territory back there all the time. And I was like, you know, it was such an awesome idea. Yeah. And then such a shitty result.
I'm so sorry.
We literally created a war. Yeah. It was just spoiled tomatoes and varmints all over the place.
Like
so,
all the worst of Bambi.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
A
I know, right? And then the squirrels nested in the roof. And then, like, you know, 9:30 at night on a Saturday night, I've got a squirrel running through the restaurant. And it's just mayhem. And so the mayhem just had to stop.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad you tried anyway.
We did try.
That sounds like you really gave it the old college
we,
try.
We did, indeed.
Commend you for that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe next time you can try something that has
a little more simple.
Thorns,
yeah, maybe some thorns, indeed. Thorns.
A little more violent.
Right. Yeah.
Contend with the regional varmint territory. Yeah. All right. So I would also love for you to tell us a little bit about your sourcing. I mean, we mentioned a little bit that the local produce is going out of season, but we know that you really, really care about having the best of everything. And I want you to talk a little bit, if you can, about the kind of trade-offs between the benefits of buying local versus what you can actually manage to do and still get out high-quality product here.
So during the year, during growing season, we contract a Mennonite farm and they raise 157 acres worth of produce just for us.
Wow.
I've got basically, it's equivalent to 2 semi-truck loads per week that come through this place. Yeah, it's pretty wild. In the off season, it's a little tougher than I would like. Like I said, we're ending onions right now. I've got a grower out of Texas that does pretty good by us. And I have been able to kind of build relationships as opposed to just buying from a big box. I do have to buy from a big box, but our big box seems to do a better job sourcing than the other really big boxes.
Okay.
The big
like
blue
box.
Yeah, it's more like a medium box. So the blue box, we try to stay away from.
Okay.
We buy some flour and some like canned stuff from them that we know quality and we can buy on price on.
Yep.
But for the most part, we stay in that medium box range that has the ability to maintain relationships without just putting the screws so hard to everybody to maximize profit. You know, they, like I said, they do a good job. They care about their customers. They care about their farmers. And then at the same time, we're able to still get some squash and stuff like that throughout the year from our local guys. You know, they'll even do some beans and stuff in their greenhouses over the wintertime.
Cool.
And we got plenty of herbs growing out here right now. I think we're going to take a run at lettuces in their greenhouse.
Nice.
over the winter. I'm not sure how it's going to fare, but we're going to pay for it. They're going to grow it. And if it flops, then it flops. And, you know, okay, well,
yeah.
Let's try something else.
What
so,
can you do?
I wish I could be as brave as take tomatoes away from my customers in the wintertime. We just take raw tomatoes away.
Okay.
We go to a roasted tomato. We put up about, I think we put up 11,000 pounds of tomatoes in cans.
Wow.
So
what does that look like?
I don't think I'm supposed to say that in front of the health inspector. So hypothetically speaking, we could have put up like 11,000 pounds of tomatoes in cans.
If you put up, yeah. Wait, but if you put up 11,000 pounds of tomatoes in cans, what would that look like if they were on shelves on the wall?
It would look like a 10x20 storage unit.
Offsite. We're talking offsite tomatoes.
Hypothetically speaking.
If there were tomatoes in cans, they would
look like 10x20 storage unit that costs $189 a month.
It's like our entire studio, actually.
Yeah, you could actually, if you hypothetically had that many, you could fill our whole radio studio.
Hypothetically speaking, there might be cauliflower and carrots in there also.
Oh. We might need an extra shipping container.
That's right. Yeah.
And we do have some shipping container space in Brooklyn. Not promising you would get any hypothetical veggies back, but if you wanted to send some up, we could at least keep them there for
right.
you for a little while.
Okay.
All right. And one other thing that I really want you to talk to us about is your seafood sourcing.
Yes.
And I know that you're part of, you've been involved with the Gulf Wild Consortium.
Yeah.
And I'm so curious how you're working with them and what they're doing as far as labeling so that you know what you're actually getting with your seafood orders.
Well, basically, somebody wakes me up at like 3:30 in the morning and it's like, hey, I got this. And then they'll just completely cut out. The call will drop and then I'll have to wait like 9 minutes. Or basically, I have to go in the other room because I don't want to wake up A, the animals, and B, my girlfriend, because it's just rude.
That's really considerate.
Yeah. And then he'll call me back and he'll be like, I got it. And then it'll cut out again. And I'll just be like, hey, text me. And so anyway, yeah, they call and they'll tell me what they have, basically, and hit a 7 o'clock Delta Dash or Southwest freight flight, and it gets to me by 12 o'clock, and I'll either send one of my guys or my local seafood guy is also usually there about the same time, and if he's handling something else for me here at the same time, you know, he brings up my oysters for me, so I don't have to run a truck down there.
Do you sleep?
Sometimes.
Like every other week?
But your girlfriend and the pets sleep, so that's
they
good.
They do. Yeah. I'm glad they do. Yeah, I sleep. I get like 3 or 4 hours a day.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Awesome. No,
wow.
Seriously, it's great.
All right.
20-minute naps at some points.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All gotta right. stay out of the REM sleep.
Yeah.
It makes you depressed. I'm serious. It just does.
Oh, man.
So anyway, yeah, it's then they put it on a plane and it gets up to us every day but Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. So we're having some freshies.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, last question for you, and then I'm going to pass it over to one other secret surprise guest that we have here today. If you could be any one of your dishes, which one would you be?
I would be a bowl of buttered noodles.
Why?
Because they're delicious.
I
can't see on radio. There's a big smile.
Cool. All right. Well, we have a special surprise guest today. Her name is Odetta Hartman. Since we're down here in Music City, we thought it would only be fit to bring along a dear friend of Heritage Radio and an amazing musician in her own right to throw in a good old music question for you. Here we go, Odetta.
How you doing?
I'm good.
So I have a quick question. Who is your favorite musical artist?
Beyonce.
It is not Beyonce. Well, I have a very obvious favorite, who would be Harlan Howard. Harlan was my uncle, and he wrote it the way we saw it most of the time, or all the time, really. And Harlan wrote more number ones than anybody in history. So that's my number one on the list.
What's your favorite number one song of his?
I Fall to Pieces.
Your uncle wrote that?
Wow.
It's quite a legacy.
So I guess you're going to have a really personal answer to the next follow-up question. But if your uncle were to come into this restaurant and have
shrimp
a
and
seat,
grits.
Where is he from?
Oh, God. I want to say it was Ohio. I really don't remember, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He's been gone now for 10 years almost. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm blown away.
Well, we have one more closing speed round segment here before we let you go.
Do it.
This is easy stuff. This is actually the easiest question ever. We do a segment with all the chefs. We say it's called Big Ups. Give you a chance to big up somebody else in the community, in the Nashville scene. Doesn't have to be a chef necessarily, okay, but anybody doing great stuff around here.
My big ups?
Yep, yours, yeah. That's
big
right.
Tandy. Big Tandy Wilson and Pitmaster Pat.
All right.
Yeah.
How come?
I think both of those guys pretty much embody everything that's great about local food. They do it right. You know? It's real. It's real shit. It's not fake.
No.
And it's hard to be a black sheep in the crowd when you could just cut and run for the money, and I think those guys just do it right. They really do.
Awesome. The last one is partially selfish, as we're tourists ourselves, essentially. Kind of a city guide thing. So if someone's getting off a plane, let's say it's like Saturday night, first time.
Have you been to Roberts?
Nashville. Yes.
The recession special, the PBR, and the bologna sandwich. That's my tourist note.
So you get off the flight, get a cab to Roberts, the recession special is a PBR and a bologna sandwich.
And say hi to Becky.
Wow, so that's the tip right
that's
there.
That's the tip. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chef. Really appreciate it.
And just to all our listeners, if you want to follow Chef Penley and Urban Grub on all the social medias, you can find them at Edgar_Penley or at Urban_Grub. For reservations, go to urbangrub.net. And thank you so, so much, Chef, for being here with us tonight and for having us and feeding us this incredible food.
It was my pleasure.
And I'd love to just remind everybody that this is Heritage Radio Network on tour in Nashville, Tennessee. You can find our entire series by searching Heritage Radio Network on tour on iTunes, Stitcher, or at heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization. To become a member, you can visit heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Keep in touch by subscribing to our newsletter and following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.